Good morning. Welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is April 19th, 2024, episode 142. So, this is a podcast by a dreamer for a dreamer, stand-up comedian and actor Paul Green, documenting my journey to greatness or mild mediocrity. We'll see which one. So, yesterday, I had some fun things happen. So, let's see. How do I frame this? So, obviously, in today's entertainment landscape, you know, social media is a pretty big deal, as anyone will tell you. It is pretty difficult now to really get anywhere in show biz without a social media presence. I was talking to a comedian friend of mine recently who's actually had some pretty big opportunities. He got cast in it was either a movie or a TV show. One of the new Superman coming up or whatever. So anyway, so he gets kind of this big break, and one of the big agencies started looking at him. It might have been WME or one of those. And they immediately went to his social media numbers, and they're like, cool, you know, this big break is cool. We can probably work with you to get you to the next level, but you got to get your social media numbers up. And I think that's just the name of the game now. And by the way, although he's a stand-up comedian, they were looking at him as an actor. So they're even saying, as an actor, you have to have your social media numbers up. And I just think gone are the days of, you know, getting on television is the big break. Or getting in a movie is the big break. It just seems like any sort of exposure that you're going to get or interest as a performer somehow is going to involve social media, especially if you aren't already known. I mean, granted, sort of the legacy actors, you know, I doubt Robert De Niro has a social media following. But again, you know, he got famous 1,000 years ago before there was social media. So anyway, I have done so much stuff on social media over the years. None of it has really, really popped or really hit, but I'm always looking to improve my social media game. So I have been posting clips of me doing crowd work, which, by the way, every comedian does. That is not unique. Matter of fact, it's so ununique now that there's actually this sort of counter clash or this counter movement of comedians criticizing comics who do crowd work and put it on social media. I think a lot of that stems from resentment towards Matt Rife. For those of you who know the Matt Rife story, if you don't, you know, he really blew up a couple of years ago. People say they blew up because of his social media. And yes, that was a component of it. He'd also been doing stand-up for about 10 years. He was, as a young teenager, he went out to L.A. He got on Wild and Out. So he already had, like, major TV credits when he was, like, 17, 18 years old. I think there's a clip of him on Wild and Out kind of flirting with Zendaya, you know, who's now obviously one of the biggest movie stars around. So, I mean, he's been in the game for a while. So to say, like, oh, he posted one clip on social media and that changed everything for him, it's like, nah, he'd been hustling and grinding. And somebody actually told me that he already actually had a pretty significant social media following before blowing up. I think somebody said he already had 100,000 followers on whatever, TikTok or whatever. But after all of that groundwork, he then posted a clip of him doing crowd work And then he had this one clip just go absolutely insanely viral, which really launched him into a new stratosphere performer. So in the wake of that, it seems like now every comedian is posting clips of them doing crowd work and hoping that that will lead to some sort of big break. And truthfully, I'm not any different, to be honest, because there's a couple elements here. First of all, I actually love doing crowd work. It's one of my favorite things because I love doing improvisation. I started as an improviser, and stand-up comedy was always sort of secondary for me to improv. And so any opportunity I have to go off a script, riff off of something, pull on some sort of thread that happens live in the moment, and then just sort of let that carry me and let it unfold moment to moment to moment is where I love living as a performer. My biggest struggle has always been the prepared, written element of stand-up, sitting down, writing jokes, preparing those jokes, and then presenting them night after night after night and refining and refining. And those of you following the podcast know that I'm actually right now in the midst of a drastic revamping of my entire written act. And that's been a lot of work. But anyway, so the social media element. So I have been posting fairly regularly clips of me doing crowd interactions and posting them on social media. But one of the challenges that I had was the equipment that I had, which was pretty much the camera on my cell phone. And then I had like this, like 3 or 4 year old, like Panasonic camcorder, which was not super great quality. And so what I noticed is when I was, so what I was trying to do was get clips of me interacting with the audience, and I would try to get a camera on the audience so that obviously I could cut towards the audience shots. The problem was I didn't have a powerful enough camera to get decent footage of the audience. So like I had these clips online, and you know, the cameras on our phones now are like unbelievably powerful, right? So like it would be a really clean shot of me on stage, but then would cut to the audience and it would be all kind of like grainy and wasn't very clear and it looked a little blurry. And a lot of that was I just didn't have a very powerful camera. And so I have been on a quest to see if I could get just a little bit cleaner footage of these audience shots. So when I piece these clips together, it just looks a little bit cleaner, a little bit more professional. So yesterday I did a bunch more research. And again, this has been something I've been looking to accomplish for a couple of months now. Just hadn't really pulled the trigger on anything. And yesterday, well, first of all, I knew I was going to have 6 shows this weekend, all at JP's Comedy Club. So I was there last night. I'm going to be there twice tonight, twice tomorrow, and then one more time on Sunday for an independent show. So I'm going, I have 6 shows here, and I want to see if I can just get better, just up the game a little bit, just move the needle a little bit to where the videos just come out a little bit cleaner. So I posted something online. I did like a Facebook post like, hey, everybody, what kind of camera do you use? I need something good for low light because obviously it's a dark room and, you know, I want to be able to get good reactions from the audience and have those look clean and come out well. So I looked at everything everybody was saying online. Of course, I did my own online research. And then I ended up going to Best Buy. And then there's this place in Tempe called Tempe Camera, which obviously is a camera place. So I went there and I talked to a salesperson, and he was, you know, kind of point me in a different direction. So I thought I needed a camcorder or a video camera. He actually was saying you would be better off getting like one of these Sony cameras that does video. And he started talking about all the stuff that I don't know or understand. He's like, you know, it has to do with your lens size, not the lens, the, what did he call it? It's not the mirror. There's this term he used, the glass or something. It's like, well, you know, the size of this has to do with how much light it can take in and then, you know, still maintain focus. And interestingly enough, he actually recommended the exact same camera that a couple people online had recommended. So he recommended like this, it's like a $700 camera and then like another like $600 lens. So now it's like $1,200. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around that, but I'm going, well, I don't have $1,200, but I was also just going, well, even if I can't make a purchase today, then I at least know what I need to build up to. But I thought, well, you know, I actually have a 0% financing credit card over at Best Buy where I just was. So then I Googled the camera that he was trying to sell me and to see if Best Buy had them. And it turns out Best Buy did have one, but at a different location. So now I drove to my second Best Buy location and I started looking at that camera. And it turned out that there was a Best Buy guy there who actually knew cameras. Look at that. Best Buy was actually helpful. So he starts talking to me about, he kind of does the whole pros and cons. I tell him exactly what I'm trying to do. He starts taking me through a handful of different options. He's like, well, we have this Sony here. And then he goes, but you know, the Canon over here might actually be a better fit for you because this Canon, there's no recording limit. A lot of these, you know, cameras, they time out on the video after like 30 minutes. I'm going, well, a lot of time that will be fine because I'm only doing maybe 10, 15 minute sets. But there are times when I'm doing a longer set, you know, maybe a 30 minute set or a 45 minute set. So it would be nice to not have my camera cut out on me. So he started comparing the, doing a little compare and contrast between the Sony and this Canon. And the Canon cost about $700, but it already had a lens included with it, so I wouldn't need to go buy like that $600 lens that the other guy was selling me at Tempe Camera. So I would get the camera, I would get a lens, and this camera, he said, yes, this camera will do a lot better under low light situations because it has the bigger like glass thing. It has the same sort of size as the Sony, and you know, he kind of just showed me everything and he just said, yeah, I would give this a try. You're probably going to get a lot better, cleaner footage than you were getting with your Panasonic. So that was the whole journey yesterday. So last night I had a show at JP's. I did crowd work. I set up my brand new Canon camera pointing at the audience with my cell phone in the back pointing at me. And I do gotta say, I got much better footage of the audience. I actually already posted a quick little, like, 10-second clip from last night. And it just looks so much better. So, I am very happy that I was able to just, you know, just up the game a little bit. And I really think that that is just where I'm at right now. It's just every day, how can I up the game in this area? How can I up the game in that area? How can I get a little bit better footage so that I have a little bit better social media clips? How can I make those social media clips pop a little bit more? Yesterday, I also had an interview, but I had a meeting with a social media guy who has worked with a couple comedian friends of mine and have helped their social medias become very successful. He's way too expensive for me. He was like, well, package number one is we'll consult you once a month for $1,000 for an hour. And like $1,000 an hour to say, hey, have you ever considered doing better on social media? Anyway, he was really cool. So he gave me about a free 30-minute sort of consultation and just gave me his take on things. His second package or his next level package was like $2,700 a month where they actually post for you. And I was going like, well, I'm not quite in a position to spend $2,700 a month just on social media videos, especially. Even he was saying, yeah, things have changed so drastically with social media. He goes, the way the algorithm works and all that. He goes, I mean, it's always changing constantly. And he just said, now with the advent of AI, he goes, he's like, the AIs are so good now, the algorithms are so good that people actually don't really subscribe as much anymore. He goes, people will just watch videos, but they'll just watch video after video after video after video, and they don't need to subscribe to anything because the algorithm knows what videos to put in front of their face anyway. So you don't really need to subscribe. And we go, oh, well, that makes me feel good. But anyway, just, you know, it's just conversations and just me every day trying to move the needle, both on the business marketing side, which is obviously the social media, getting better footage, getting better quality footage, getting, you know, putting more quality content out there, editing it differently, cutting it differently, trying to do everything that I can to get quality quips, clips on the social media. And of course, the whole other side of this is that I'm pretty much rewriting my whole act. And as part of that, I bought myself a whiteboard, everybody. That's right, the good old whiteboard where good ideas go to die and to be dry erased. But I'm starting to visualize mapping out. I'm just looking at it as a new hour of comedy. And those of you who follow the podcast also know that I have been writing new material every day and sharing new material. Oh, I have my notebook right over here, everybody. I don't even remember what I wrote last night. So after I did the show, I went and did some writing. Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know about this. This is what I wrote last night. So here is my new material. So I have been trying to repair my credit score recently. So I've been working with this company. And I feel like they're just trying to turn me into a bit of a small-time scam artist to try to repair my credit score. This is what they tell me. They're like, Paul, you've got two credit cards, one with a really high balance, one with no balance, and you need to transfer the high balance, some of the high balance debt to the low balance credit card. The problem was is the transfer period is now expired. So they go, so Paul, this is all you have to do. Just go ahead and start a shell company, then set up a Stripe account with the shell company. Connect the shell company to a business account. Then take your personal credit card, invoice yourself from the shell company for about $4,000. Once the $4,000 hits your Stripe account and goes in your business account as cash, then withdraw the cash and then deposit it into your personal account and then take that cash and pay down the high balance credit card. And you want to know what? I don't want to do any of that. I just want to increase my credit score. I don't want to like try to prove myself to the mafia that I'm like resourceful. I don't want the Italian mob being like, he's proven himself to be a resourceful man. It's like, you know, what was the joke here? That just feels like a slippery slope. I mean, what if I start doing that and I like it? Like I get a little taste of the scam artist life. One minute I'm trying to, you know, improve my credit score. The next minute I'm laundering money for the Gambino family. People see me on the street like, hey, Paul, did you ever get that credit issue resolved? They'll be like, yeah, I made the CEO of Citibank an offer they couldn't refuse. I'll tell you what, my credit score had shot right up once there was a severed horse head in his bed. All right, something like that. This is the good part, guys, is you get the absolute raw, unedited, undefiled version of this new stand-up bit. So here is my plan. I'm going to set my whiteboard up. I'm looking at it right here on the wall, and I am going to start mapping out my new material. I have not really tried any of this new stuff on stage. I think I tried a few new jokes at my open mic last Sunday, but it's funny. It's like, I don't even feel like I'm ready for an open mic yet. I just feel like I'm in this gathering raw materials phase and just try to get as much raw material together as possible and then really start rebuilding my written act from scratch, just 5 minutes at a time, just 5 minutes at a time. Which really does feel like starting over again. But, you know, starting over again with also 10 years of experience. I've been I just started watching the Steve Martin documentary, which is, on Apple TV. And it's been very humbling and inspiring at the same time just to see how long he refined his stand-up act before he popped. I mean, he really, since he was a kid, he was working on, you know, doing magic tricks and gimmicks and gags, and then was working at Disneyland, and he was watching all the great comedians and all the performers at Disneyland and what they were doing, and just refines that and, you know, starts doing any show he can get. I mean, really just years and years and years and years of just refining that zany, avant-garde, almost meta. It's like an act making fun of the fact that he's doing an act, you know, and just doing that for years and years and years. And funny thing is, he talked about how he, you know, he would do a show and then go home and cry. And I'm just like, I get that, Steve Martin. You know, talked about how some people just didn't get him, you know, like he would do his act at some place and they would love him. And then he said he got booked at the, I think at one of the Playboy clubs or whatever. And he was trying to do this act at the Playboy club and people just like, what the, you know, kind of the more classy, sophisticated. But he also mentioned that his act, you know, people didn't pay money to see him. They paid money to go to the Playboy club. And then he's just kind of sort of the sideshow on stage. And, you know, how that didn't work, you know, and it's so fascinating to go back and hear somebody who's now on the other side of one of the greatest comedy careers that you could possibly imagine. But then watching him document what he was going through sort of in retrospect of like, oh yeah, that was really hard, or that didn't work, or, you know, I really struggled there and people were laughing or people didn't like me or whatever. And just going, well, I know what it likes. I know what it feels like to, you know, do a show and not have it go well, or try to put your act in front of a certain audience who just aren't having it. And you got to get off that stage and just go through that and deal with it. And then get up the next night and keep going again. So always fun hearing the greats talk about what they went through. The only difference is Steve Martin did not do a daily podcast in 1975 talking about his comedy journey. All right, everybody, I'm gonna leave it there. I hope you're all doing well, that your journeys and your dreams are going well. And I love you all so much. This has been April 19th, 2024, episode 142 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.